That great new series will start in 2 weeks here at Chapel Hill. I Have Needs. It's going to be a wonderful time of personal growth through the word of the Lord in your life. Hey, Jonathan already said about the discomfort here today. I take it personally. The buck stops here. I'm so sorry for this. We keep talking about it. We do want you to enjoy your experience here. My grandfather was a wonderful man of God, and on Saturdays, this service kind of reminds me not of Haiti, but of my grandfather. He would kiss his wife goodbye and his three children, and he would get on a mule. And he would ride up into the hills of Arkansas and preach the gospel to people who didn't have a church. And when he got up there, they had what was called a brush harbor, which was nothing but trees with limbs on the top, and the power of the Lord and the beauty of the gospel would touch those people's lives. And then he would ride his mule back down on Sunday afternoon. And that is a legacy. And my prayer today is that your children's children are blessed by your courage today as we kind of have a connection with the past. God, I tell you what, God's going to do a work here in just a moment. Then we're going to have a great time at Family Circus right outside the doors. But let's take a look at the word of the Lord. I'll try to be a little bit briefer. But I think there's something very, very important the Lord has for us in his scripture today. Father, thank you for this time of worship, of friendship making, of encountering you. Bless this in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Maybe you've heard me say this, but I would encourage you to join me in how I start my morning. Got my coffee already set up, ready to stumble in there. And then I make three prayers, three very important prayers. I start with the Lord's Prayer. It gives me guidance and direction for my day. And then after that, I pray, Lord, make me a miracle delivery agent today. I want to be available if you want to deliver a miracle supernaturally. I want to be at the front of the list. I sign up here in Atlanta. And it opens my life up to the power of the Holy Spirit and so many wonderful and adventurous opportunities. But there's a third prayer I pray practically every day. It's the prayer of Jabez. And I want you to pray it with me or read it with me. And I would strongly encourage it to you to make this a part of your morning plan. Would you look at this in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse number 10? Read this with me. And Jabez cried out to God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And the Lord granted his request. When you get up every morning and you pray this prayer, "Oh, that your hand would be upon me and that you would enlarge," and I kind of add something. I say, "Lord, enlarge your territory through me." And as I'm concerned about enlarging your territory every morning, I'm praying this. I want to invite you to join me. Then I say, "Then you can enlarge my territory as I'm mindful of enlarging your territory." When you dare pray that, your world will be expanded. Every dimension of your life will be expanded. You'll go from borders that are here to borders that are here because you have asked the Father in faith, believing, to expand his territory, your territory, through his hand. And part of that extended territory is making and meeting new friends, relationships. And I want us, as we visited Zacchaeus last week, to revisit him, because as we look at Jesus in Luke chapter 19, we see how Jesus was so bold in initiating or inaugurating new friendships. In fact, I would dare say that as we read this, and we're going to read it together, I want you to see how absolutely over the top Jesus was in meeting new people. Now, before we read this and we see this, I'm very aware that God has wired you just the way you are, and he did that on purpose. Now, I don't like to stereotype people, but you're very aware that a lot of us, temperament-wise, some of us are more introverted and some of us are more extroverted. I love introverts. The church would close down without introverts. Can you say amen to that? Introverts are more quiet people, but boy, I've noticed they're on task. They're mission. They're going to show up on time. They're not going to talk a lot, but they will get something done. I know you're hot, but put your hands together for all the introverts in our church that do such a marvelous job. We would shut down without introvert loving the Lord and working for a bit. But also, some people are more extroverted. I admit that I'm that way. And the difference is, if you don't know if you're an introvert or an extrovert, for an introvert, it's different than an extrovert. An extrovert, to meet somebody new, is like breathing. Oh, it's like oxygen. Maybe if you're an introvert, to meet somebody is like getting choked. Oh, I don't want to do that. But I want you to see that Jesus was the personification of both the extrovert and the introvert in what you're about to read. He was on mission. He was on task. He had the cross before him, and he had a mission from the Father that he would not waver from. But at the same time, he was so energetic in doing some little things to meet new people, make new relationships, and blossom new friendships. And this is what I'm asking you today. Regardless if you're an introvert or an extrovert, I want you to think about what happened at Chapel Hill. If this took place, if every one of us in the area that we're not would increase 2 or 3 degrees in effort. Extroverts, more on task, more faithful to the things that you sign up for. Introverts, just a little bit more free to meet somebody new or welcome somebody. If we could all just move our weakness up 1 degree, 2 degrees, 3 degrees, just think how as a whole that would change and energize the impact of this church. It's powerful. Now let's read Jesus, and I want you to see how he's an introvert on task and he's an extrovert at the same time. Read it with me. I don't like to read to people, so read with me. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. A little bolder, a little louder. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was. Now watch Jesus. This is almost over the top. Go to the next verse, please. Verse number 5. Read it with me. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said unto him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him and gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter. When we look at this over-the-top approach to meeting people, all the while he was on mission, there's something that is striking about Jesus, and that is he's modeled the way. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, and most of you are, you can't really be a serious follower of Jesus without a pause coming in your life and saying, Jesus did this over the top. I need to do a little bit of this. Amen? If you're a follower of Jesus, and Jesus was way out there in meeting new people and initiating new relationships, maybe as a Christ follower, I need to do this just a little bit more than I have done. Don't ever forget what I'm about to tell you right now, because it's one of the great one-liners I've ever heard in my life. Your relationships are your resources, and your resources are your relationships. I'm going to say it again. Your relationships are your resources, and your resources are your relationships. Turn to your neighbor right now and repeat that. Just go ahead, just say it. I want you to get it. Go turn to somebody right now. Turn to somebody and just say it. Your relationships are your resources, and your resources are your relationships. So if you are going to be a Christ follower and turn it up a degree or two, then notice what we need to do as we follow on the heels of Jesus' sandals. We need to maneuver through the things that discuss other people to make these friendships, these new relationships, have a chance to get started. Notice as Jesus reached out to this total stranger, Zacchaeus, that immediately people began to mutter. So now, onomatopoeia, form of a word. It's a word that actually sounds like the action of it. That's what murmured. They muttered. Jesus is going around with that disgusting Zacchaeus, and all the people around murmured. They muttered. The word sounds like what they were doing. But Jesus had this sense, I don't care what people think about this person, nor the horrific past and crimes he's perpetrated on other people. I want to get to know him. You cannot understand the disgust of people in the community until you really understand the role of a tax collector in that day. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment. Now, you're living in a country, and you enjoyed freedom and sovereignty, and all of a sudden now you're an occupied country. No longer are your leaders leading the country. Now Rome has taken over. Not only in your streets are soldiers from Italy, and you're living in occupied space, that's bad enough. But now this occupying force is imposing tremendous taxes everywhere you turn around, everywhere you go. On your grain, 10%. On your olive oil, 20%. On your wine, 20%. On your sodas, 20%. It's just crazy, man. They had a poll tax. You had to pay one day's wages to vote. You had all these needs of Rome. They had an army they had to support and resource. They created the greatest highway and road system of the ancient world. They had amphitheaters. They had temples. And it was a heavy, heavy, heavy tax load upon you. Everywhere it was suffocating. And then the way they would impose and collect their tax even made it worse. They would hire people from your own kind, neighbors, and these neighbors were willing to do a deal with the devil. Okay, we will be tax collectors. We'll be hated, but we will bring the taxes in. And this is what they did. The tax collector would take what Rome demanded, and then most of the time they would ask for the same amount for themselves, and then they would do even more. There's over in Turkey, they maintained this form of taxation of tax collector, and this is what your world would be back in the ancient days of agriculture. You would put your grain in 10 bags, and you were sure to put them, weigh them exactly the same, because that tax collector would come and he would see which one of the 10 bags was the heaviest to get his tenth. So you got them all equal. The tax collector would take the tenth for the government, a tenth for his duty, and then charge another bag for you to have the right to prepare your field the next year. And this is the guy that Jesus is going over the top to meet. And the people are murmuring about it, and they're ticked off of the low-life, trashy people Jesus is reaching out to. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. You know what that means? He was the sorriest of the sorry.
He's the guy that gets in the team huddle meeting and just says, come on, you got to be tougher. You got to get those taxes in. You got to get more grain. You got to get more. And he was hated among the fraternity of the hated. And this is the guy that Jesus walks through to touch and initiate a brand new relationship. Listen, the Lord wants you to walk like Jesus, and there's grand relationships waiting for you, but sometimes you just have to move through the disgust to make it happen. Maybe not of your own heart, but what everybody else is saying. Gayla was throwing a newcomer's dinner in Arkansas, and I hope you receive this in love. And the newcomer's dinner is just a place where we invite newcomers, and then we invite them to a growth track type of thing like we're going to have here all on one day and on August 5th. And while we were hosting these new people, four people came up and said, Pastor, I don't know how you're going to handle this, but there's a new person here. This lady is married to a lady. And we don't know how you're going, what to do. I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Ladies and gentlemen, if this church is going to impact our city and this global community in the day that we live, we have got to be ready to love everyone that walks through our doors, regardless of their journey and what people say about them. So this is how I handle it. And I said, okay. So I had my secretary reach out to her, and she was a manager at Walmart. You could tell that Ellen DeGeneres was her hero, and she didn't have all the Hollywood flair, but she had the same little haircut and little frame. And I said, invite her to my office. And I brought her in. I want to tell you what I shared with her. I said, listen, thank you for coming into my office, because she thought she's going to the principal's office and was going to get in trouble. When the secretary calls, Pastor wants to talk to you. You go, what have I done? And I said, thank you. So my first sentence out my mouth was, it's such a joy to have you. It's such an honor. And this is what I said to her. I said, listen, I just wanted you to hear the heart of this community of faith. Number one, we preach the Bible. So you're going to be hearing the uncompromised word taught here week after week. And, you know, I'm willing to share you with all the things the scripture says. And she says, I'm very aware of that, of what it says. I said, we're going to teach it. But I also want you to know that before you walk out of this office or this family of faith and put us in the category of haters, I want to ask you to do something. I want to share with you where you'll be able to serve in this church and where you won't be able to serve. But I also know that you have five children, two of those boys. They need a male role model. I want to be it. We have a sports camp. I will teach your sons how to throw and catch a football if you give us a chance. They need to have confidence at recess. I want you to do this. Before you go back to a community and tell them that the Bible Thumpers are a hate group, I want you to give us a chance to love you and your children. Stay here long enough to see our heart and see the respect and the dignity and the love that we share with you before you walk out. And she said, I would love to stay here a while. And can I tell you, though it was probably confusing to some of the people at the church, that lady and her children would come and sit on the second row. She was the first gal I would hug when I'd walk in out of my office. And she was there week after week. Did she ever give her life to Christ? No. She said, I know what I'm doing is not right, but I love this woman, but I just want my kids to have a church. She came week after week. She cried. She wept. She was loved. And I don't know where it's going on in her life now, but I want to tell you, she left that place saying, God's people who believe the Bible are not haters. They love people, and they've helped me in my family life. If you are going to have these new relationships, you've got to be able to walk through what disgust other people and say, behind the chief tax collector, there's somebody that's God's got grand design for them, and I'm going to maneuver through what anybody says to love them. Then the next step, and you're hanging with me good, and I love you more today than ever, is the next thing is that Jesus, when he was inaugurating a new relationship, you know what he did? He sent some positive signals to this hated man that there was a possibility to have a great friendship. Hey, before Jesus ever looked at Zacchaeus in the tree, there was already some pre-signals. I have room in my life for you. I'd like to get to know you. If you are going to expand your territory, your relationships are your resources are your relationships. If you are going to let the Lord expand your territory, and I encourage you to do it, you need to do like Jesus, follow Jesus, and send some signals out there. You know what? There's a good possibility we could have a great relationship. Do you ever get signals from people, I don't want you in my life? Come on. Do you ever have signals from some people, even in your insecurities and mine, where we go, they're kind of letting me know I'm okay enough to carry on a conversation. Jesus did this big time, and I want to show you. Remember how hated the tax collectors were, and he was the chief hated one. But he went to work, and guess what he heard among the people he worked with, his colleagues and some of the people that he employed to do his dirty work? Look at Luke chapter 18. Jesus was telling the story about the spiritual guy praying and a hated tax collector. And Jesus, this is before Luke chapter 19. Jesus tells the story how the religious theologian, the legalistic guy, oh, I'm so glad I'm not like these pitiful sinners. And Jesus turned it and said, but the tax collector had a broken and a contrite heart. Look at the next verse there in the next slide. The tax collector got the attention of heaven. So when they went back to the tax office and the coffee shop and the water cooler talk was going on, some of those hated tax collectors said, this Jesus guy's unique. He thinks there's a possibility that we can be right in the heart of God, that even we can pray and God can hear us. We don't have to be a Pharisee. And you know what? There was scuttle. There was talking. There was chattering around the water cooler among the tax collectors. Jesus kind of thinks we've got a chance. That was a pre-signal. Look at this next verse there in Luke chapter 15. I think it is. Notice the case of tax collector. It's plural. They had all multiple tax collectors around Jesus, multiple dinners with these people that the community hated. And Jesus, with every dinner and with every conversation, it was sweeping through the whole fraternity of the hated of tax collectors. Jesus is sending a signal, we're okay. And that's huge. Because when Zacchaeus, the chief hated one, heard Jesus was coming to his hamlet, he was already thinking, I've heard at work, this guy may have room for me in his life. I'm intrigued. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to send positive pre-signals to people that there's a chance for a relationship to be ignited in our lives with them, no matter what everybody else has said about them. Come on, I know it's hot, but give the Lord a hand right now. Pre-signals. So Zacchaeus goes, okay, I've heard that he's kind of tender to people like me and everybody else hates us. And he gets there and notice quickly what Jesus did. Jesus inaugurated a new relationship because he worked really, really hard on names. He walks up to a total stranger, and I think I know what you think. He walks up to a person he has never met before, looks up in a tree. He's on mission. He's an introvert. He's going to the cross, and demons can't keep him from his assignment and task. Totally on task. But at the same time, he's totally over the top in meeting somebody new. And how does he do it? Something as simple as getting his name. He walks up to a total stranger and calls him by name. Now,
what's easy for us to default to as Bible readers is say, well, that's easy for him. He was the Son of God, and he just knew everything, and he's walking around, and the Lord says, da-da-da-da, that guy is Zacchaeus, and that's Rachel over there, and that's Benjamin over there.
No.
Jesus was fully God and fully man, but all that he did was under the anointing and work of the Holy Spirit that is available for you. He emptied himself while he was here and operated in the anointing of the Holy Spirit in signs and wonders, so that we can't say, well, he's just Jesus and there's no way we can have signs and wonders in our life. No, he operated under the anointing and function of the Holy Spirit through his life. Can you say praise the Lord? But here's what you got to get. I've never read in the Bible where the Holy Spirit has revealed any prophet or any preacher somebody's name. That's not in the Bible. Of all that the Holy Spirit does, he doesn't reveal names, people, locations. So I don't think it was the Holy Spirit says, dut, 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 that is Zacchaeus. I think Jesus was such an initiator of new relationships, he said, hey, before he got to that tree, see that guy up there in that tree? Before I get underneath that tree to that spot, what's his name? Well, I don't know. Would you go find out who that is? So Andrew or Peter, hey, who is that guy? Oh, they know. And somebody said, oh, that's Zacchaeus. So to inaugurate, to ignite, he already had his name down by work, I think, and effort to open up a brand new world. And Jesus walked up to him after doing his homework and said, Zacchaeus, have you ever heard anybody call your name unexpectedly in a positive way and it meant anything to you? It's powerful. I remember I was a freshman at Evangel College playing football, and I played a game and I was going to the bus and beat up and bruised. And some gentleman across the parking lot said, hey, Danny, great game. And I looked, and it was the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God. And I'm going, wow, Brother Carlson knows I'm on the planet. You know, and I don't care if it's some big leader or just somebody, when they dare to send a signal, I know who you are by learning your name. It is huge. You know, problem is we get a handicap learning names. It's hard to learn names, but I'm going to tell you, I'll do anything to learn a name. In fact, Rick Warren at the great Saddleback Church said, you know, their church is tens of thousands. He says his favorite time of pastoring the church was when it was 400. Because at 400 is the last time a pastor can know everybody's name in the church. You would not believe what pastors do to memorize names. In fact, Nick, would you please stand up? When I got here, I could not remember Nick's name. I kept forgetting. He's a great man of God. He loves the Lord, but I couldn't remember his name. So finally what I did, when I look at Nick, Nick. On Nick's face is little bitty tissue papers with a little red dot with blood in them where he nicked himself shaving. So the only way I could remember who this great man of God was toilet paper where he had cut himself, he had nicked himself shaving, and all over his face, he was nick. And when I finally saw him, give Nick a hand now. We love Nick. I love Nick. I'm so glad I got a friendship with Nick. I heard Pastor Dave say, you've got a rocket scientist that teaches Georgia Tech by the name of Nolan. And I go, oh my Lord, on the board. Nolan, he's a head of the nuclear, committee across. And I said, Nolan, how am I going to remember that? He's going to be so intellectual and so smart. He's going to throw me fastballs like Nolan Ryan. No, and he it's going to be so hard to answer his rocket science physics questions. Yeah, you know, and when I met
Brother Nolan, he hadn't been throwing fastballs at me like Nolan Ryan. He's been throwing me real soft pitches like, come on, Pastor, hit this out of the park. Hit it out of the park. I want to help you make a base hit. But I found his name. He's Brother Nolan, okay? Now, I'm desperate because I want a relationship. I want to have a highway into your life. Richard and Nancy, would you please stand up? Richard, kind of quiet. Richard, I'm talking to you. Richard and Nancy, y'all, stand up. These are some of the most faithful servants at their posts. They're just faithful on task. Keep standing. You know how I remember their name? To me, he is Richard Nixon, who is married to Nancy Reagan. Richard and Nancy. A little strange stuff going on there, but at least I memorized their name. Al over here. Al, mighty man of God. Come, he's got a hoot owl sitting on his shoulder. Brother Al, you've got an owl sitting on, I know Al. And hey, and Marianne and John, would you please stand up? Marianne and John, would you please stand up? Marianne has been stranded on Galligan's Island for years. And being from Arkansas, please don't be offended, John, but the only way I could remember your name was my grandfather's outhouse on top of your head with a little half moon, and so that was a John on top of your head. Now, listen, when it comes to learning your name, you do not want to know what I have done to learn your name. Kent, Debbie, newcomers or whatever, Jim and Karen and Taylor. Why do you even bother? Because behind these names, Jesus said, there's an opportunity to start a new relationship that can change people's lives. And finally, Jesus was over the top in creating opportunities. Creating opportunities. I want you to look at this. This is crazy. You wouldn't do this. But Jesus did. Look what Jesus does. He walks up to a total stranger. He did his homework to learn his name. And he said, Zacchaeus. And he starts bossing this new stranger around. Imperative voice, come down. How do you like total strangers bossing you around? I want you to come down right now. Because this is what's going to happen. I'm going over your house. Whether you were prepared or not, and I'm staying a while. Can you say over the top? What if a total stranger called you by name, you don't know who in the world they are, then they says, get over here right now. Get over here right now. I'm going to your house and I'm going to stay as long as I want to. How long did Jesus stay? Long enough for Zacchaeus to find grace. Long enough for Zacchaeus to know this is a lifelong relationship right here. So when you pray, oh, that you would bless me indeed, that your hand would be strong upon me, enlarge my territory, I promise you what's going to happen. A part of that expansion of your boundaries. See, God's wanting to add to your friendship and to your resources, and your relationships are your resources, and your resources are your relationships. Part of that prayer and expansion will be an opportunity to initiate a new friendship. And if you dare walk to that spot, call their name. Say, I want to just hang a little bit. Share grace. Can I tell you what will happen? You will have your borders expanded of your personal life and theirs in a delightful and wonderful way. This is what we're going to do.
I want you to give everybody a hand in this service for loving the Lord so much and being here today. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's not Chapel Hill's heart or level of excellence to put you through this. We've apologized over and over. But I want us to pray and close our service. We're going to worship the Lord in our giving. But we're about to walk out and have some time of fellowship with our children. And please hang around a little while, as long as you can. Get to know someone. You know what my joy is? My hope is that today you'll meet two or three different people. And the thing about getting to know people at church is after you go to church with people, you got this zone, this time to get to meet them, and then after that time lapse is over, you're embarrassed to ask them their name anymore because you're supposed to already know them. Come on, act like you know what I'm talking about. How many of you would like to know who somebody else is in this place, but you're embarrassed because you've been around here too long and you're supposed to already know? Come on, everybody get honest, okay? You know, you hear me say all the time, I want three strikes before I'm out with your name. I called a Jeff today. Jim, I hope you give me just one more strike, okay? Well, maybe that's not. We can all increase one or two levels. And this is what I'm going to ask today. Two things. When we go out there, I want us to have name amnesty day. And that is, we don't expect anybody to know who we are. No guilt for not knowing somebody's name. Don't ever walk up to someone, because this happens to me throughout my ministry. Brother Danny, do you know who I am? Hadn't seen him in 15 years. Been all over the country. Do you know who I am? And that's not a winning question. Number one, person probably doesn't, and you're going to be embarrassed because you're going to. Don't ask people, do you know who I am? Go up there and throw your name at the beginning of the conversation. I'm Danny. I'm Connie. I'm Jocelyn. I'm Silas, and then start. But right now, before we go any further, heads bowed, eyes closed, you're here and you say, Pastor Danny, Jesus is reaching for me, and I have not welcomed him into my life like I need to, but I hear him reaching for me to start a relationship, and I have not been walking with him. But I can hear on this Sunday morning, Jesus is reaching to my heart, and he's knocking on my heart's door, and he's saying, I want to know you. I want to give you grace. I want to get to know you better. If you're here right now and you have kept Jesus and his love for you locked out of your life, but today you want to welcome him into your world like Zacchaeus did, I want you to raise your hand quickly right now at the count of three. One, two, three. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray this prayer, not with me, but after me. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for sending Jesus to find out who I am. Forgive me of my sins. I open the door to my heart. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, I choose to have a relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.